On this special episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, we discuss the 2019 proposed changes to the ASC payment systems and the quality reporting programs. CMS published the proposed rule this last week, and there are significant ramifications for the ASC industry, as well as some good and bad news about payment rates, depending on your specialties. With this episode, we will begin the discussion of the new regulations and their impact on the ASC industry. Note that throughout this episode, we will be discussing various CPT 4 codes. CPT, better known as the current procedural terminology, is a copyright of the American Medical Association, and all rights are reserved by the AMA.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a weekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource their regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality assurance program, run their meetings, develop education programs, and to always be prepared for surveys. Welcome to episode 31 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. This is a special episode for July 23rd, 2018, discussing the proposed 2019 ASC payment systems and quality reporting program. Recording from our studio in Rochester, New York, this is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS. I'm here with John Gailey, the author of over 10 books about the ASC industry published through Eden Group Development, a nationally known speaker on all aspects of the industry, and the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, which provides regulatory oversight services to ambulatory surgery centers throughout the United States. Well, we've been waiting for it, and it finally came out last week.
And as usual, it did not disappoint, didn't it?
Now, there's a lot of information, and you were kind of stuck to the computer the whole weekend. And strangely, you seem to be enjoying it.
I know. I'm sorry about that. It's funny, I was on the road when the news hit, and you called me on the phone. And I think we spent about an hour on the phone, because I kept asking you questions like, is this in there? Is this in there? And I'm sure you're kind of glad to see me finally get home so we could do it all in person. But yeah, it's been a lot. I've been crunching some of the numbers. Interestingly, usually I'm reading other people's synopses of these. And this time I went right to the, oh my Lord, I mean, it's over 1,000 pages, isn't it, of information. And I read a lot of that. So the information we're giving today is coming, and in some cases I'm actually quoting directly from the CMS document. So you're getting information right from the source. I was able to download all of the actual rates and compare them to the rates for last year. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Obviously, we only have about 30 minutes to talk about things, so we're going to do what we can, and then we'll have another episode next week where we'll talk some more about it. You're going to have the most important aspects, I think, of the new rate structure by the end of this episode. So I thought, Sue, maybe we would go into a little bit of background. I know you as a nurse probably don't know too much about the reimbursement system. We don't certainly do too much with it in our regulatory services section of our business here. But of course, my background is in Medicare reimbursement, and I've written many books about it over the years. So I thought I would just give our listeners a little bit of background just in case they are indeed often nurses who are running surgery centers and perhaps are not aware of how important what we're going to talk about today is for their industry or for their facility. So let's kind of do an introduction to the Medicare reimbursement. So Medicare rates are reimbursed on what we call prospective payment system, which means that the rates are set prior to us doing the procedures. We know what we're going to get paid theoretically, for the procedure based upon the procedure that's being done. And these rates are based on what we call the APCs, or the Ambulatory Payment Classification, a system that's been around for a very long time. So for those of you that don't know how we're reimbursed for ambulatory surgery procedures, is they're based upon, it's a single fee for the service, which includes a number of things we'll talk about in a second. And the fee is actually based upon the CPT code, the Common Procedural Terminology Code, which is issued, as we talked about earlier in this episode, by the AMA and is a copyright of the AMA. Multiple procedures are paid at a lower rate, 50% of the actual base rate. And that fee covers virtually everything that is done within the surgery center. So it covers the nursing staff, technicians, and any related services, the diagnostic and therapeutic services or items directly related to the revision of surgical procedure, administrative record keeping and housekeeping items and services, the operating surgeon supervision of the services provided by an anesthetist, a CRNA, if that's the situation. And as a general rule, the facility fee also covers the drugs, biologicals, surgical dressings, supplies, splints, casts, appliances, and equipment that are directly related to the revision of the surgical procedures, and the anesthesia materials and implants, including the intraocular lenses. And these rates are set on an annual basis. They're set using what we call hospital cost reports, which is an important thing to understand here. So these rates are based upon the acuity levels that are identified through hospital cost reports, which is an annual report that every hospital in the United States that participates in the Medicare program must complete and send to CMS for reporting purposes. And then the CMS takes this information, collates it, and puts it through this big black box, I guess, and then spits out a bunch of reports that culminate ultimately in the rates that we have. Now, I say this because hospitals submit cost reports, and our information about the acuity of the cases that we do are based upon hospital information. Ambulatory surgery centers do not currently submit cost reports to the CMS. Now, some states, well, actually, only one state that I know of, New York, is required to have cost reports, but that's only for Medicaid purposes. For Medicare purposes, at the present time, ASCs don't submit cost reports, and that's been actually a bit of an issue for CMS over the years. And for the last couple years, including this year, they have been talking about finding ways to get cost information directly from surgery centers.
Now, if they're based on the cost reports, how do some of the rates change so drastically year to year? Because I know there's been a couple things that the reimbursement rates really went down.
Absolutely. And you and I have talked about some of the rate changes mm-hmm. this year, which have been pretty dramatic in a few cases. The best answer for that is you need to understand that even though the overall rate might go up, say, 2%, that doesn't mean every single one of the rates goes up, because they recast every single one of the individual procedures based upon acuity changes that are identified through the cost reporting mechanism. Yeah. And what they're doing there is they're looking at every single case and comparing it against other cases and see which ones have higher acuity or have acuity changes in those couple years. Everything is basically cost neutral. So in the end, what you're doing is you're making sure that the ASC industry as a whole doesn't pay more after all of those adjustments have been made. So everything is kind of revenue neutral when it comes to determining how one acuity stands up against another acuity. So as I said, annual adjustments are revenue neutral to the total amount allocated, and fees are adjusted based upon acuity information that is from that hospital cost report. So proposed rates are published in July, usually right around July 1st. This year it was a little bit later. And then the final rule is published in November. And we'll have until sometime in September to submit our comments about this new proposed rule up until that time. And then the new rates would be effective January 1st, 2019. So let's take a break and we'll jump right into the numbers. So let's talk about what happened in this year's payment update. And I read quite a bit of the executive summary where most of the information is. And by the way, we'll post the entire exciting 1,000-page final rule to our website for those of you who are crazy enough to want to look at it. And I'll also publish the actual rate calculations up there. None of this is copyrighted. It's all part of the CMS public information that's available on the CMS website, but you can get it directly from our website once we've posted this episode. So for 2019 through 2023, CMS is proposing to update the ASC payment system using the Hospital Market Basket update instead of the CPIU, which is better known as the Consumer Price Index for urban. And the industry has long argued, and the ASC Association in particular, have been making arguments for many, many years since the new system came out in 2008, that the CPIU was not an appropriate measure since it only measured consumer prices, not hospital or healthcare prices. And often those differences were quite dramatic. And we know that in particular, Sue, with regard to drug costs, because we know drug costs have been going up quite dramatically in ambulatory surgery centers, as well as in the hospital industry. And this also created a difference. So at the same time that the rates come out for ambulatory surgery centers in July, the rates also come out for hospital-based surgery centers, better known as HOPDs. And those rates are based upon the same system that we use for the ASC rate, but they're adjusted based upon the hospital market basket. And what happened this year, for the first time, CMS took the advice that the industry has been doing, the ASC industry has been making, that really the increase should be based upon the hospital market basket. However, of course, nothing comes for free. So CMS is requesting public comments on the ASC's cost structure to assess whether the hospital market basket is an appropriate proxy for the ASC costs. And using the hospital market basket methodology in 2019, in other words, using this new system for calculating the increase in cost, CMS is proposing to increase the payment rates under the ASC payment system by 2.0% for ambulatory surgery centers that meet the quality reporting requirements under the ASC QR program. In other words, as long as you've been submitting information about Medicare quality reporting to CMS and to the appropriate organizations sanctioned by CMS, then you're going to get the full rate increase. And this rate increase is actually, and now we're going to have a lot of numbers here. So the actual market basket increase, percentage increase this last year, in other words, the inflation rate for the healthcare industry is about 2.8%. And they take that number, and then under the Affordable Care Act, we have to reduce that 2.8% by 0.8 percentage points, bringing us down to a 2.0 increase for this year. So across the board, ambulatory surgery center rates are going to go up 2.0% for 2019 under this proposal. They also estimate that the total payments for ambulatory surgery centers, which includes the beneficiary cost sharing and estimated changes in the enrollment utilization and case mix for 2019 would be approximately $4.89 billion, an increase of approximately $300 million compared to the estimated 2018 payments to ASC. So that's the size of our that's how much money we as an industry receive, $4.89 billion from the Medicare program for surgery in the United States. So that's kind of an exciting number. Now, this is what's very interesting. So we as an industry have been asking for this hospital market basket adjustment for a while. And for the most part, that has been a higher number than the CPIU or this consumer price index. And indeed, that's the situation this year. If CMS had used the old consumer price methodology for 2019 instead of the hospital market methodology, the rate would have been 1.3% instead of 2%. So that's and that's because the consumer price index went up 2.1%, and it would also have that same 0.8% decrease. So another way of saying this is, while our costs as human beings in the United States went up 2.1%, you know, for our cost of living adjustments, 2.1% was the increase there. The hospital market basket was about 2.8%. So about 0.7% higher rate increase in the healthcare industry. And I would suspect a lot of that probably is drug costs, of course, as we all know. And unfortunately, CMS has indicated that yet again, they will assess the feasibility of collaborating with stakeholders to collect ASC cost data in a minimally burdensome manner and could propose a plan to collect such information. This could be quite burdensome and very expensive. Sue, you and I, you put up with this because you know part of our company actually creates, does cost reports here in New York State. And throughout the year, we have to listen to that division of our company whine about how much work they have ahead of them and suck resources from, from
quite
us.
It's quite a big project.
It is. And keeps quite a number of people here busy for about the 2 to 3 months out of the year where that cost report is being put together. So we can certainly speak to the burden that cost reporting does. And in fact, our company has provided quite a bit of information to the ASC Association, who has used that information to make the argument that current cost report mechanisms are probably not an appropriate way to do it. So I think that's perhaps why the wording is a little bit different this time. As I said, the CMS used the words that they're assessing the feasibility of collaborating with stakeholders to collect ASC cost data in a minimally burdensome manner. So, of course, I'm skeptical whenever the government says minimally burdensome. But I'm hoping that they mean that they're going to work with us to find, you know, a mechanism for getting this data without really creating a whole mechanism that has to be done every year like cost reporting. So you, Sue, looked into the non-opioid pain management therapy section here. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is, I thought, really good news. For 2019, in response to the recommendation from the President's Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis, CMS is proposing changing the packaging policy for certain drugs when administered in the ASC setting and provide separate payment for non-opioid pain management drugs that function as a supply when used in a surgical procedure when the procedure is performed in an ASC. So it would be, instead of grouping it all like they do now, if there are some non-opioid pain, you know, medications, yeah, you would get paid extra for those.
Right. Talked about earlier, mm-hmm, in that first segment, indeed, most supplies are included in that base rate that we get paid. And yep, there's a couple exceptions. I believe you said that Exparel.
I'm actually not sure what the Exparel, but that's the only drug that right now is separately reimbursable
under
the supply cost.
By CMS here.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So hopefully they'll expand that list and encourage less usage of opioids.
So this is really promising, I think. You know, we did an episode, five episodes ago about, mm-hmm, you know, trying to find ways to encourage non-opioid use in the ambulatory surgery facilities. And now CMS is stepping in and trying to find a way, mm-hmm, through healthcare finance to do the same thing. So.
Yeah. And the one interview we had with one of the anesthesiologists, he had mentioned this class of drugs as being, right, something that can be very helpful. Sure. So again, like you mentioned before, CMS is soliciting public comments and peer-reviewed evidence to help determine whether they should pay separately for other non-opioid treatments for pain under the hospital and ASC payment system. So
between now and September, when the when all this information has to go to CMS, or all the comments go, we need to encourage everyone to point out those, mm-hmm, drugs that they think would be a proper drug to be included in that, non-opioid drugs, obviously, or treatments, to have those things added to the payment list. So this is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about some of the rate changes. So we're going to get very mathematical here for a bit. So some of you will like these numbers, some of you will not. They are not very, we only have a half hour here, and I didn't want to bore everybody with all the statistics, but we'll just focus on four different areas, specialties, which are by far the most common specialties. Well, three of them are the most common specialties, and one is a particularly interesting area. So for eyes and ophthalmology, the rates are relatively the same, almost unchanged, which means that they're not going up and not going down by, they're not going up by the full 2.0%. As a matter of fact, 66984, CPT 66984, which is cataract surgery with the insertion of a lens, is going down to $988.53, which is a decrease of 0.36%. That's, mm-hmm, less than 1%. Yeah. Not very much. And the numbers that I'm quoting here are the national numbers. So I didn't talk, mm-hmm, about how these are calculated, but all of these rate calculations that I'll be giving you today have to be adjusted for regional factors, such as, you know, New York City has a higher rate because the salaries and wages in that, mm-hmm, area are much higher than, say, Montana, you know, the more rural areas. So these are the national averages. You'll have to look at your own location and the wage adjustment factors for that location to determine what your exact rate is. But overall, the percentage changes should be the same for you. So again, ophthalmology in general has been pretty much the same. Cataract, as I said, went down 0.36%. Another common procedure there is after cataract laser surgery, which is the egg laser. That's CPT 66821. That went up 0.87% to $256.45. So that's a rate that many years ago, when I first got in the industry, was well above $300. And it's gradually been coming down as the technology has been, you know, getting less expensive. So overall, ophthalmology is okay, not going up, not keeping up with the inflation factors overall, but it's doing okay. So GI is actually a bit of a winner this year, which I bet a lot of people in our audience are saying, yay, finally. So for upper endoscopy, like EGDs, and this would be CPT 43235 and 43239, which are either the EGD diagnostic or EGD biopsy, single or multiple, have gone up 2.17%. So you went up a little bit higher than the market basket increase to $395.75. Again, that's the national rate. So upper GIs did okay. But colonoscopies, my favorite procedure in the world, colonoscopies overall have gone up between 3.9 and 4.09%. So, for example, a diagnostic colonoscopy, CPT 45378, has gone up to $385.04, which is a 4.09% increase. So, double the hospital market basket percentage increase. And colonoscopy with lesion removal or colonoscopy with biopsy, both of those, which are 45380 and 45385, both of those have gone up 3.9% to $506.90. So GI centers should feel pretty good this year that they're getting a pretty decent increase. And the screening, which is the G-code items, also went up 4.09% to $385.04. So good news for the GI industry. The problem with orthopedics, of course, there are so many different procedures. I only selected a couple of them for this episode. We might talk about some other numbers in future episodes, but I wanted to make sure we get this episode out as quickly as possible so people have an overview. But orthopedics, in general, is similar to eyes. They're really not going up. Knee arthroscopies are down slightly, almost 1% decrease to $1,268.99. And arthroscopy rotator cuff repairs is up exactly the consumer price index, 2.0%. That's up to $2,776.10. General shoulder arthroscopies are down slightly, again, by the 0.87%, which is the $1,268.99. So and by the way, hammer toe procedures are also $1,268.99. And again, that's down 0.87%. So those are some of the more common items in the orthopedics. We'll try to pick out a couple different ones. I haven't gotten into some of those more complex procedures that I know we've been watching very carefully here. But overall, I think it's a mixed bag for orthopedics. Lastly, I would like to talk about the industry that has been hit very, very heavily. Unfortunately, this hits close to home because we do have a number of vascular access centers. So the vascular access centers, those are centers that maintain the vascular access for dialysis patients, it's relatively new to the ASC industry as a result of rate changes that occurred a couple years ago in 2016. Where a number of those organizations decided to start ambulatory surgery centers to deal with the dramatic decrease in the reimbursement to the practitioners there who were doing those procedures in their office or in a lab. So these are 36901, CPTs 36901 through 36906. And depending upon the type of procedure, there's either been a big increase or a big decrease. So 36901 angiogram of access is up 66.88% from $319 to $532. The big one, though, is angiogram with angioplasty has gone from 2,524 down to 1,124, less than half. It's gone down 55%. And on flip side, angiogram with a stent, 36903, has gone up about 36% to $6,082.32. Likewise, 904, 905, 906, the CPTs there and the 36 series, which are the thrombectomies, 36904, have gone up a mere 7.67% to $2,718. But the big whopper here has been the thrombectomy with angioplasty. 36905 has gone down 53% from $4,480 to $2,079.95. And 36906, which is thrombectomy with a stent, has gone up 42% from $6,925 to $9,835. So I know those are a lot of numbers to throw at you, but the big take here is that for the procedures in the vascular access area that include angioplasty, the angiograms and thrombectomies have gone down between 53 and 55%. So that's going to be a huge hit. I think that's going to dramatically change the landscape for vascular access. So I don't know what this means yet. I was in on a phone call earlier this week that talked a little bit about the impact, but I know this is going to be kind of a major issue for that industry. Let's take a short break, Sue, and then we'll come back and talk about one of your favorite areas, Medicare quality reporting.
One of the sponsors of the ASC podcast with John Gailey is Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. John, can you tell us about some of the services that AHS offers?
Sure. So we are a regulatory oversight organization. We basically are involved in the business of helping organizations to always be prepared for surveys and to respond to surveys and just to become your outsourced regulatory compliance organization. We also do financial oversight too, but the stuff that's probably most pertinent to most of our listeners relates to regulatory compliance and accreditation compliance. So our goal is always to have our organizations remain prepared for surveys. And so we'll, to that end, we maintain the policy manuals. We develop educational programs. We can even do the educational programs for the organization. We oversee the quality improvement program. We write the minutes for the quality improvement program, if that's what the organization wishes. And we help run the governing body meetings, again, if that's what the organization wants. And we'll write the governing body minutes for that. We also do periodic mock surveys. We help the organization through a survey, and we'll help them respond to the plan of correction necessary after a deemed status survey. And most importantly, this is all at a fixed price that might surprise most of our listeners.
Hey, so how do our listeners learn more?
So for a free, no-obligation consultation, give me a call at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ah-strategies.com and fill out the contact us form.
Okay, thanks, John. So during the break, John, I had a question. I know we were talking about your concerns because of the decreased rates for the vascular access centers. But now listening to the numbers, you had so many that had gone up. So I'm wondering if that evens out.
It does overall. Of course, the adjustments are very complicated. It's not an easy thing to describe, especially on a podcast. Mm-hmm. But overall, the CMS works to make sure that the total pool of dollars that are being allocated to ambulatory surgery centers are adjusted for the acuity of the cases that are being done and the consumer price index increase and the number of procedures that are coming over to the industry from other areas and as well as procedures that are leaving to like the office-based procedures now. So in the end, what we see is this is a zero-cost game. So we, mm-hmm. The fact that GI procedures are going up in some cases 4% is the reason that something like vascular access, which has nowhere near the volume that GI procedures does, other industries are going to have pay that price, mm-hmm. For that change. And unfortunately, that's what we're experiencing here. But that's a good question. It just seems, again, the vascular access is not a huge part of the ASC industry right now. So those dramatic decreases, of course, and we should point out that they're for the angioplasty, which are the more common procedures mm-hmm. that are done there. Some of them, the rest of them go up, but that's not enough to offset the non-angioplasty mm-hmm. procedures there. So, okay. So let's talk, Sue, a little bit about what's happening with the Medicare quality reporting, which is this absolute, we probably should have started this because this absolutely blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Huge changes to this. And what we should, maybe I'll introduce this, do the opposite. Usually you introduce me, but I'll introduce this whole topic by talking about Medicare quality reporting as a system that's been established to try to basically pay for reporting. Eventually it's going to be pay for quality, pay for results. But for now, it's just pay for reporting. And throughout the process, Medicare and CMS have, created a mechanism that ambulatory surgery centers report to CMS the results of their activities, such as the ones that we're going to mention here. Mm-hmm. And then as long as they're reporting, then they get the full increase in this year, 2.0% mm-hmm. For that year. And we've been doing this for quite a number of years. But this year, some dramatic changes have occurred. So yeah. Instead of adding new ones, they've actually are really taking old ones away. So mm-hmm. go for it, Sue.
Yeah, CMS is proposing to eliminate most of the quality reporting measures, which we have grown to know and love in the ASC industry, which will have a really good impact on our facilities as they seek to reduce their regulatory burdens. So for the 2020 payment determination, which is based on 2018 data and subsequent years, CMS is proposing to remove ASC 8, influenza vaccination coverage among healthcare personnel.
So, Sue, that's a major development. ASC 8, the influenza vaccination coverage, has been quite a burden, especially for those of us that have tried to sign up for NHSN, which mm-hmm. is the body that we report to through CDC, which basically means that we have to give our firstborn child to the government in order to be able to get an account there. So, We won't be sending our firstborn children off as much as we might want to sometimes. Anyway, this is a dramatic move here that will remove this requirement for the 2018 data, which would be reported in 2019. So that's pretty quick. But there's also more, isn't there?
Beginning with the 2021 payment determination, which would have been based on the 2019 data and subsequent years, CMS is proposing to remove seven measures. The ASC1, patient burn, ASC2, patient fall, ASC3, wrong site, wrong side, wrong patient, wrong procedure, wrong implant, and ASC4, all-cause hospital transfer admission, ASC9, endoscopy, polyp, surveillance, follow-up interval for normal colonoscopy in average-risk patients, ASC10, endoscopy, polyp, surveillance, colonoscopy interval for patients with a history of polyps, avoidance of inappropriate use, and ASC11, cataracts, improvement in patients' visual function within 90 days following cataract surgery.
So this is exciting. Those are those certainly are all, especially endoscopy centers 9 and 10 are very burdensome and time-consuming. Not that they're probably already tracking that type of information, but now not having to report it is a big thing. So in ASC 1 through 4 are all things that are being reported through the claims process. So this will require some changes to the claims process in 2019, beginning in 2019. So this is the first in my memory where they've really kind of gutted the whole program. There's very few measures left right now. And this is quite a development, and I think a good one. It is, you know, there's a new environment in Washington right now where they're trying to cut the regulatory burden, and certainly this is a sign of what's happening here. You know, Sue, our company could be out of business if they have too many of them. I guess that's not a real concern.
We're never going to lose all the regulation.
I know.
But I think they must have. It sounds like they just looked at things, and if it wasn't something that, you know, the information was able to be put to good use, if it wasn't really helping patient care, and all it was doing was adding. An extra job for somebody to do.
And I think
they tried to take it away.
Precisely. I think what we found here is that there really were not a lot of these statistics, a lot of these issues occurring in ambulatory surgery setting. And now, you know, I could put a counterpoint here is by not tracking this information on a regular basis, this could, you know, hurt us as we try to continue to prove the high quality of care that we have in the ambulatory surgery setting. But obviously, this is a very burdensome system, and there's other ways that we can prove that quality.
And speaking of burdensome.
Yes, big news.
OAS CAPS appears to still be on hold.
And that's all we have to say about it. I had to read that section like 17 times because, of course, you summarized it very well, appears to be still on hold. The wording in the actual legal document was nowhere close to that. So they said refer to the prior, oh my goodness, it was too much. Yeah. But it was quite interesting. For those of you who don't remember or have not been listening to us, OAS CAPS, which is spelled OASCAHPS, is the mechanism that Medicare was going to be using in order to try to keep track of us. It's the same similar system what they're doing with hospitals where they're gathering information by interviewing our patients after the procedure and asking them a series of, I think it was 39 questions, which very few patients, I think, would be comfortable, you know, sitting through that long interview.
Because, of course, patient satisfaction is really important to us.
Right.
So it's great to get that information. This has got to be done by an outside source, and it's 39 questions. It's just too much.
And they were estimating that at the minimum cost would be about $6,000 a year for the average surgery center. So thank goodness for us. Again, these are all preliminary. This is all, projected or proposed regulations. Often there are relatively minor changes between the proposed and the final rule. So that's kind of it for right now. I think that's enough of an episode, certainly. We're going to be back with our regular episode next week. By the way, I should point out, CMS is accepting comments on the new changes until September 24th, which is my mother's birthday, by the way. That's all I remember that. And CMS plans to release the final rule at the end of 2018 to take effect in 2019. So as I said, we'll be back next week with our regular episode. And until then, please spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues and do us the honor of hitting the subscribe button.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including the Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.